As Arizona works to try to slow the spread of COVID-19, there's been an emphasis on contact tracing. That's the process of tracking down people who were in contact with those who've already tested positive for the virus. Public health officials across Arizona are urging residents to answer the phone if a contact tracer calls, and there are requests for any new federal stimulus package to include money for more contact tracing. But the process is about more than just IDing people who've been exposed to COVID-19. To find out more about it and how it works, I spoke with Dr. Samantha Sabo and Omar Gomez. Sabo is an associate professor in health sciences at Northern Arizona University. She's also a researcher with the school's Center for Health Equity Research and is working with Coconino County's contact tracing team. Gomez is a student in NAU's Master of Public Health program and is volunteering as a contact tracer with the Coconino County Health Department. I started our conversation by asking Dr. Sabo how easy or difficult it is to do contact tracing.
It takes a very skilled case investigator to be able to have that conversation with somebody that's tested positive, to be able to think through and recreate the past 24, 48 hours, to be able to build that list of people that they may have come in contact with. I think a lot of times people are well aware of who they've been in contact with. And oftentimes, once the contact tracer calls the contacts, they've already been notified by the individual.
So Omar, talk a little bit about what a typical day at the office looks like for you. Like how do these calls go and what kinds of stuff do you find out?
Yeah, so typically like whenever I start working with this, the monitoring, the first thing I do is I go through all of my cases and I look at all the individuals who we have already screened and had contacts with. Dr. Saber was saying, a lot of these folks already know that they've been exposed, and a lot of them have already been over to get tested. So what I usually do is I'll look for all of those folks, and I look at the individual who has been tested, and that's the first individual that I talk to because they already know that what their status is, and I have not met a single person who's been surprised that they have the virus right now, or other individuals with whom they live.
Have you had instances, Omar, where you have tried to get in touch with somebody and they've either not answered the phone or have answered the phone and just not wanted to talk to you?
Yes, a lot. So that's another challenge for us when we're doing all these calls is that there are some folks who are very busy, they have families, or they are just not able to answer their phones. And a lot of times I'm assuming that we just call around the wrong time and we're just not able to get through to them. And what we do is we just leave like a short message on their phones, and usually I'll wait for them to respond. But there have been very few people who have actually followed through with calling back. And then there's, like you mentioned, the other case where there are individuals who I am able to contact, and they just want to keep everything as short as possible.
And I think one unique characteristic of contact tracers that maybe the public doesn't know they can help with and might encourage folks to talk to them more is this idea that contact tracers are really a support system for you. Our contact tracers, Coconino County has been awesome in setting up how contact tracers interact with the members of the community. They know the resources in the community. They know where to get tests. They know how to support people with deciding how to quarantine and best isolate themselves, maybe from other family members. So they know a lot of the local resources that individuals in families who have COVID positive family members or others can access. A lot of times making that decision to isolate, to self-isolate in a family of five with maybe two bedrooms is very challenging. And so a contact tracer can think about with the client or with the community member how best to do that and what resources are available locally to support them. So it's really identification, but it's a public health intervention in itself. It's data collection, right? So we can understand who's been exposed, but it's really that support mechanism, I think, that's unique about contact tracing.
Omar, when you reach out to people and when they actually answer the phone and talk to you, do you find that they are receptive to hearing about potential resources, where to get tested, you know, if they need assistance or help figuring out how they might need to quarantine, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Most people, thankfully, most of the people that I've talked to have been extremely receptive to just engaging in any kind of conversation, whether it be for housing or for other types of resources. A lot of people have been very receptive. So thing that I found personally whenever I've talked with individuals is just having that reassurance that someone is keeping an eye out for them is the thing that I've noticed the most.
For the patients who test positive, are they generally okay giving up their contacts? I mean, do you find that there are some people who just don't want to have anything to do with this?
For the most part, yeah. What I've seen so far is that most individuals are very open to disclosing who they work with or who they live with. There have been very few cases that I've personally encountered where individuals are reluctant to share any information at all.
Samantha, it would seem as though there are some potentially kind of touchy ethical questions at play here in terms of what responsibility the patient themselves has in terms of quarantining and giving up their contacts, and then the people who are then contacted, the responsibility they have to answer the phone and get tested and potentially quarantine if they need to. How do you think about some of those, and how do you sort of work through some of those issues with people who might be a little skeptical or maybe a little reluctant?
Sure. You bring up such an important point, and it's really about public trust. And I think in these times, our public trust and our ability to trust local state government is challenging. And I think as a public health professional, we absolutely require that element of trust to be able to do this work. So you bring up a really good point. I'm thinking through what it is like to have a diagnosis and then have somebody from the state call you, somebody that you do not know, that you do not trust, or that you just aren't sure of how that information will be used. And I think it's important for the public health department and the public health professional to ensure that that agreement, that we are doing this as a public service and as a way to try and reduce the risk to other people, is really important to communicate upfront. But it's challenging because we are having to overcome a lot of obstacles. We have in our community very vulnerable populations. Contact tracing occurs with individuals who may be experiencing homelessness. Contact tracing occurs with individuals who may have an immigration status that they are worried about or concerned about. And so this is why it's essential for the public to trust the public health infrastructure in their communities, because we need to work together to be able to protect members of our community.
What are some of the ways that public health agencies are trying to build that trust? Because as you referenced, you know, especially with everything, but especially with this pandemic now, there is sort of a trust deficit between some members of the public and some levels of government. So from a public health perspective, how do you try to build that up so that people will answer the phone and will give you the information that you need and then will take the action that they need to take?
In my opinion, I think, and what Kilkenino County has done, is to really try to be that service, to ensure that people understand that this is a service to them, that it's not just taking information away from them, but there's a mutual exchange, there's a mutual benefit between the public health agency and the individual, that community members see value in talking to the public health department because they know that they're there to help them. And so I think also ensuring the confidentiality of all of this. As you probably know, everything is HIPAA protected. And so, you know, we are bound by those HIPAA laws that require us to keep all identifying information confidential.
Omar, are there particular ways that you try to, in the early part of your conversation, build that trust and get people to understand who you are and what you're doing, and maybe more to the point, what you are not doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's one of the first things that I encountered when I first started. I know that there were a few individuals who were very hesitant to engage in conversation. But what I found out, and also what Kokomo County has been doing, is they've provided excellent resources, not only for, you know, individuals who have a positive status or who have contacted them, but also for us who make those calls. So first starting off with introducing who I am, who I work for, and what it is that I'm doing. And oftentimes there will be some individuals who still have a few questions. What is my information going to be used for, or what are you going to be doing? All of these things. And I enjoy when people ask that, because then it gives me the chance to say, you know, we're here to, you know, to help you, to try to ensure that you are safe. You know, that's the number one priority, is we want to make sure that you are being taken care of so that we can stop the spread of this virus, but also make sure that you remain healthy. After that, most individuals seem to be very understanding. For me personally, I know what it's like to not have a lot of those resources in place, especially when you're very uncertain. So I'm DACA, and a lot of my life I've lived without a lot of these infrastructures, a lot of resources when it came to just infectious disease, knowing what you can and can't do and what resources are available. So for me, this is something that's kind of personal, because I can give that to the community. And I think it's a very useful thing that Coconino County has been doing.
Samantha, do you typically find that for folks who maybe are part of a contact list that maybe need resources, they need help in some capacity, are those resources generally available?
Yeah, it's tricky. I feel like we've been at this for, you know, months or years now, but yeah. At the beginning, the resources that were needed by people were absolutely about unemployment checks, paying the rent, you know, those immediate structural things that were going on in their lives because of just abrupt loss of job and inability to pay bills and rent. And so those kinds of services the county offers, right? So the counties receive monies to help people pay their electricity bill, their water bill, and their rent. And those are the services that were finite. And so I think those services over time need to be shored up and put into place, because this, as we upsurge in cases, what we were doing really well a month ago, and now we're not. And so we're right back to pre-pandemic rates of disease. And so people are in that same position with those very immediate needs. And so I cannot tell you if those resources are available in Coconino County, but oftentimes these things are first come, first serve. And those need to be, I think we need assurance from the state that those existing resources are going to be in place for everyone that needs them.
Dr. Samantha Sabo is an associate professor in health sciences at Northern Arizona University. She's a researcher with the Center for Health Equity Research at NAU, and she's working with Coconino County's contact tracing team. Omar Gomez is a student of Dr. Sabo's, a grad student at NAU in the Masters of Public Health program. He's volunteering with the Coconino County Health Department doing contact tracing.